Welcome to another episode of the Beck Lover Podcast, where you might just learn a thing or two about life. You never know who I'm going to have on the show. I bring people from all over the world, celebrities, people with interesting stories. And today I have not only a great guest, I have a friend of mine. He's a judo champion here in the U.S. He's been on reality television all over the world. He's been on a show that, from the sounds of it, is pretty crazy, and I'm glad to maybe learn about that today a little bit. But he's also a philosopher, an actor, and he's just a good dude. And I'm glad to introduce my friend, Andy Artani.
Beck, thank you for having me. And I love what you've been doing, and keep up the great work, man. Love it.
Andy's not only a handsome guy.
I appreciate
actually,
that.
Him and all his family, actually very good looking people. I'm good friends with your older brother.
It's the Albanian genetics.
And you guys definitely, you know, are making our people look very handsome. good looking. I used to look that. Like you, and then I got old and...
No, don't say that. Don't say that.
Had kids and got fat.
No.
Now I'm getting skinny again.
No, you look better. You're going to get there.
Down 30 pounds now.
Hey, 70 more to go, right?
70 more to go. Publicly, I got nowhere to hide anymore. And living the public life is not easy, and I can relate to you in a lot of ways because the more my content has gone out there, going very viral over the last year, posted by many big celebrities, and I'm not saying it to my own horn, you start getting approached in the streets by people, and it's very uncomfortable. Yeah. And you became very public over this last year, and I kind of want to start there before we kind of get into your life and what it takes to be a champion, because the sport of judo is no joke. Right. My good friend, also famous writer and producer, Rob Weiss, one of the writers of the hit show Entourage. He also produced shows like Ballers and How to Make It in America. Awesome guy. He's does judo. Like
really?
Every day, right. And he loves it. And I see his videos and I see his posts.
Set up a judo match with him.
Maybe we should write.
Let's do it, Rob.
Maybe Rob can write a show about a judo fighter rising up the ranks while he's still trying to get away from the criminal life or something cool. But judo's no joke, and I do want to get into that because I think there's a lot you can learn about life in that also. Yeah. But we're both of Albanian origin.
Yes, sir.
My show is for the whole world. Actually, the majority of my audience is not even Albanian.
All right.
But we are proud Albanians. We've been through a lot.
Sir.
Our histories. We come from pretty much the same part of the world. Where your family's from is less than 30 minutes driving to where my family's from.
Yep.
And we have a very tragic history.
We do.
Which is today called the Republic of Kosovo. Many Albanians would just call it Albania.
And just recently we had the Independence Day. So
2 days
16
ago.
16 years.
Going 2 days strong. Ago. 2 days ago was Independence Day for the Republic of Kosovo, 16-year anniversary as an independent and sovereign nation, which is still at risk, which is still in danger, which is still surrounded by hostile neighbors. And
it is.
It's scary. I mean, there is a real strong possibility that if the West and our people and our leaders don't pay attention to what's going on, that throughout history, we always get conquered and reconquered.
We suffer terribly.
We've never had this much time as our own to be free. And I think you can agree, we're still in danger that something could happen. And if America turns their back on us, we'd probably be reinvaded.
Yeah. We need to stop waging war and start wagering peace instead.
And hopefully our neighbors can just let us live.
Hopefully.
So your life
took me in a lot of places.
A lot of different turns.
Different spheres. Yeah.
Let's start first with your public life.
All right.
Now, I can't say I'm like really up to date with television in Europe. And sometimes I see it and, you know, we have ways to watch stuff now that we couldn't 20 years ago. 20 years ago, if somebody wanted to watch television from a different region, they had to get a satellite.
That's true.
And then you had innovation through technology like IPTV, which is Internet Protocol Television, where now things can stream. So now we get all the channels back from Albania here in America on a box, just like we get cable.
Yep.
But this wasn't even conceivable 20 years ago. You have companies like TV Alb that help distribute television from Albania and Kosovo back to America. And the same is for every community, Indians all over the world. You no longer have to put this ugly satellite on your roof and get two or three channels.
No, everything is easier.
It's much easier. And which is crazy because with all the technology we have now, you'd think people would be more informed, more educated, more open-minded to the way the world works, and there'd be less hostility. But it seems like the hostility, and I'm talking about the whole world, not just our people, like the whole world,
yep,
is more divided than it's ever been, when we should actually, if we're using logic, be more united than ever, because we can learn about each other in seconds. Culture, cuisine, history. We can kind of put each other's shoes on for a moment. And it seems like that's not happening. It seems like the world is still very divided, or at least the perception of that. But in any event, you were on a show called Big Brother.
That's right.
And it's a reality show.
Yeah.
Explain to the audience what the show Big Brother is. And it is, if I'm not mistaken, like the number one most watched reality show when it's airing, or?
Yeah. It's so pretty much it's, so this all started back in Netherlands. It was back in 1997. Realistically, it's a social experiment. And till this day, it still is. You have 15, 20 people, strangers. And it's, the whole point is to see if you can live with one another.
So they get 20 to 30 strangers.
Right. So the show I was in, it was Big Brother VIP, or Big Brother Celebrity. Right. So now inside the Big Brother house, there's 15, 20. It was 26 of us, if I'm not mistaken, that are well known. And the,
it means you have some public presence.
Right.
You're exactly. Not just some stranger, but right. The outside world kind of knows who all of you are, but you may not know each other.
Exactly.
Now, when they call it Big Brother, is that to do kind of like how a reference from the book of 1984, George Orwell, where it says Big Brother is watching? Is that kind of where they get the name? Because it means that you're being watched.
Exactly.
24 hours a day.
That's correct.
So you're in a house with people that you really don't know. Mm-hmm. Sounds like the real world.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, which was the first true reality television show, with the exception of Cops. Cops is considered technically the first true real reality television show in America, at least. And The Real World, which was produced by MTV, of which I had that guest on my show. He's also a very close friend of mine. Eric Nice is technically considered the first true reality television star in the United States of America, and was inducted into Hollywood television Hall of Fame, because that first season of The Real World was, what's the story of strangers living together? And he became very famous because of that, and had a whole career, and he was also on the show. So, but it seems like it's a little bit more different than The Real World, because Big Brother, if I'm not mistaken, in The Real World, they're strangers that are living their lives and it's being recorded. They go out of the house, they work, they do things, they have lives.
Right.
In your show that you were on, Big Brother, you're not allowed to leave the premises. You're not allowed to leave the house, correct?
You're isolated, pretty much. That's what it is.
So whoever's in that house is completely cut off from the world.
You're disconnected from the world. No phones, no nothing, zero.
You have nothing.
No communication with the outside world.
So the minute you step into that house,
you leave everything outside.
You have no idea, not even news, nothing. Like you have no internet, nothing, or like
nothing.
Because like you really need to paint the picture. So you're going into basically a holding cell.
It's like going to prison.
So even they have TV and stuff. And,
but not if you're in solitary confinement.
No.
Yeah.
So you're going into solitary confinement with 20 other people.
Right. Just picture it this way. I'm a solitary confinement, but with a more luxurious
you have a nice setting, place to live.
Furnitures and stuff.
Nice that's living room, nice bedrooms.
Exactly. But that's pretty much it. You're inside the house.
But completely cut off from the outside world.
Completely.
So you don't know what's happening on the news.
No, unless
they give you an update or something. Or?
So twice a week, we used to have this thing called Prime, right? Where, you know, everybody gathers in the living room and the show goes on. Now, this is where we talk about what happened in the past few days or the past week. Highlights, arguments, fights, challenges, etc. And we discuss it during prime time. And that's the only time when the host or the producers, they'll share with you if they want to share with you, or they could bring someone to surprise you. Because I'll tell you one thing, Beck, inside you will, this is why, as the best of both worlds, really, you will feel emotions that you have never felt before. you the feeling
because you don't know what's going on the outside world.
Yeah, you don't know,
and just so I want to clarify, yeah. The whole objective is to be the last person left in that house, correct? Yeah,
and you win a grand prize. In my case, which I was part of, it was 200,000 euros,
which is a lot of money over there.
Yeah, so it's around
millions of dollars over here. Their lives.
Oh yeah,
the average salary over there is $4,000.
I mean, even there, it's expensive. It's pretty expensive now. But yeah, it's life changing money.
And what, every week someone's eliminated, or every how does that work?
So every Big Brother in different countries, the rules are pretty much the same, but they kind of do it their own way, however they want to do it, because it's about being creative, innovative with the challenges. And for example, if you get eliminated, you have a ticket back. A ticket says, okay, you can go back in. You go back in, you get a second chance.
So there's a prize. You can win a card to get back in the game.
Yeah, exactly.
And now the only way to get eliminated is from the actual audience. They call and vote.
They're the ones that vote.
So it's the public.
It is the public. Yeah, they're the ones.
Do you think it's accurate, or do you think that they...
I don't...
You're not allowed to comment.
No, I could comment on it. I don't think it's 100% accurate, no. Public's voting. The producers, they will set you up however they want to set you up. If they want to make you look good, they'll make you look good. If they want to make you look bad, they'll do that also.
Now, people can watch, so while this show was on...
Right.
The entire time, people can watch you guys?
Yeah, 24/7.
So they can literally... So basically, you're like pets to the whole world. They can watch you in a cage. How do they watch? TV or on YouTube or how?
Basically, TV. And
it's just on the whole time?
The whole time. There's two channels the whole time.
So this camera's on.
24/7.
Remember, I'm coming at you as an American. Yeah, watch that over here.
Yeah.
So the entire time...
We're being watched.
You're being watched. You have cameras everywhere.
Bathrooms.
Even in the bathroom?
Yeah, yeah. Bathrooms.
There's a camera in there?
Yeah.
So
more like a bunch.
And the camera's on?
On.
So if I want to go and watch what you guys are doing, even if you're in the bathroom, I can watch.
Absolutely.
So let's say, God forbid, you ate some bad pasul, what we call bean soup in Albania.
Yeah.
And you get and I always get diarrhea over there.
So
I'm asking because just in case I ever consider doing this. If I got, and I usually get, diarrhea once in a while.
This shouldn't be the reason why you shouldn't do it, though.
But God forbid I get diarrhea, and I'm you, and I'm in this show, and this camera's everywhere. They can hear in the bathroom, too, or they can just see?
Okay, so you have a microphone.
And they're not showing your private parts.
No. So here's what I'll tell you. You have a microphone where you carry it. You have to carry it 24/7 with you.
Like a portable mic.
Yeah, exactly. So that being said, every time you want to go to the bathroom, do number one or number two. I mean, you take the mic off, you leave it by the counter, you go in, you do your thing, get out.
But the camera's in there.
So inside the bathroom, there's a camera, which is like an infrared type of camera. But we used to cover that. But that's just... for safety purposes, and I'll tell you why. God forbid
somebody commits suicide.
I mean,
it could happen.
Anything could happen, right? But if you fall unconscious, or you're having a heart attack, panic attack, or something, and you're in the bathroom and nobody knows where you are or what's going on, they have that just for safety purposes. But there's cameras where they could see they see you take showers,
but you're not naked though.
You could be naked.
If you wanted.
If you wanted.
Was anyone ever comfortable enough to do that on the camera?
I was comfortable enough to do it. But here's the thing.
It's from the top up.
So there's these glass doors. So let's just say my face, you could see it pretty clear, but...
The rest is tinted.
The rest is pretty much blurry. Just put it that way. So, yeah. But I used to take showers naked all the time. I'm not going to... take a shower with my boxers on.
They won't see your private parts.
They could. Telling you, it depends on the angle. And it depends.
Did that happen at all?
What if, let's just say, if I decided to just open the door, right? And just go out.
But it would be live.
Yeah, it would be live. Everybody would see it. Yeah.
But has that ever happened?
To your knowledge? So listen, it could happen where
you forget.
Accidentally, but you not forget. Just in the restroom. It could be like you could be in the bedroom. It could happen that a private part could be shown accidentally, or you're walking around with a towel and somebody could goof around and just,
So these cameras are everywhere.
Everywhere.
24/7.
There's at least 40 cameras.
And that's not even edited. That's just...
No, straight up.
So that's what makes it very different than something like the real world.
Yep.
And you got to stay in this house with all these strangers.
Yes, sir.
You don't know each other. You may not get along with each other after a while.
Absolutely.
And it starts to heat up in there because everybody wants to win also, right?
Right, right. And
so you were saying something before I cut you off earlier. You were like, when you go into this thing, you feel emotion like you've never felt before. So
right.
Finish that thought.
So here's what I mean by that, right? So you're with people, strangers, right? Even the first week, even from the first week, you start feeling things, right? Because you start connecting with these people, regardless whether you like them or not. Like them or not.
You have to live with them for this time period.
You have to put up with them. And I mean, you have siblings, you have family members that you can't stay with them 24/7 or, you know, even handle them, let alone people you don't even know. But you have to for the sake of the show.
And it goes on for how long?
So it's 100 days.
So basically 3 months in.
Yeah, 3 months
in. No contact with the outside world unless they give you a crumb.
Yeah.
The producers say, hey, we're going to let you know this happened. Or
yeah.
God forbid there's an emergency, though. What happened? Let's say, God forbid, someone in your family is really sick, or God forbid, Pat. Like
they will let you know, and then they will let you know. And yeah, you... It's up to you to decide if you want to
stay or disqualify yourself.
Don't get me wrong. You can leave the house
at any time.
At any time.
You are allowed to walk out.
You just...
Well, technically, you can't keep. That's false imprisonment. If you want to leave, you can leave.
If you want to leave, you can leave. Nobody can force you to stay there. That's it. It's a free choice. It's a choice. I mean, there were times when people... not me, though. I never had, as much as I was very emotional inside. I don't know. I had these... parasites inside of me, I guess, living for so long, and that when I was inside, I was always an overthinker and overanalyzer.
It's one of my issues in life. I think about every day. Are you a Virgo?
No, I'm a Libra of the highest caliber. I'll tell you that. But I'll tell you this.
Overthinking can be detrimental at times.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's critical.
It is critical.
Sometimes you become a prisoner in your own mind.
But one thing I've learned, and this show, being on this show, taught me lessons. Oh, many lessons.
And what are some of those lessons?
So don't believe everything you think. And one of the fundamental things for me, because it was so tough, man. It was tough.
What was so tough, Andy? I mean, I know being cut off from the outside world, you're not allowed to look.
So you know how I said the overthinking and overanalyzing? So already having that, it could be very bad sometimes. But inside... It was enhanced by 10. By 10. I had intrusive thoughts. Like dark intrusive thoughts.
Are these people really my friends? Are they not my friends?
Right.
What's going on outside?
I would create scenes in my head that don't even exist. And I would get bothered by that. That's how bad it was. You know, just you create scenes inside your head. And you start believing those things. I never knew what anxiety was until that. But I'm glad all of this happened. And... It just goes to show that I am where I am today because I went through these things and I'm glad I did. Now I can talk about a variety of things because I sacrificed in judo. I sacrificed, you know, a high paying job career. I sacrificed a lot of things and just to get somewhere. And the thing is now it's, you know what I learned? It's all about perspective, man. It's all about perspective because now I don't, you know, when something bad happens to you or, you could have, and I've had one of those and I'm sure you have a week or a month of things where it just doesn't go your way from one thing to another. And then you start saying, God, why me? Why me? I don't say that anymore. I used to, I don't say that anymore. I just say, God, why not me? You prepared me for this. I'm built for this. Let's go. Let's go. It made me so much stronger mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And I'll tell you another thing. Trust the vibes you get because energy does not lie. Energy is everything. I had a sort of a awakening inside and outside, and especially now, more than ever, with a lot of things. I have achieved something that's very hard nowadays, and it's inner peace. I didn't have it. I thought I did.
What was it about that experience that led you to this state that you're in now that you're happy about? Like, what was the hardest things you had to go through in there? Like, bring us in.
Okay. So first of all, like I said, the overthinking and all that, that's one part. Two, you have to put up with people's stuff and the, all the negativity. And I'm a big empath, right? So I feel a lot and I attract a lot as well. You know what? I'll tell you, I'm going to try to say this in the most modest way possible. I'll tell you why people, you know, tend to like me, or, and here's why. My personality, the reason my personality attracts people, it's because I'm authentic. I'm real. But very soon it scares them away because I demand that same authenticity back. And people don't like that.
I understand what you're saying too, because relationship, when you date someone,
yeah,
or even a friendship, when you finally let all your walls down, and a lot of times as you get older, you realize, you look backwards, yeah, 90% of people will never appreciate it. They'll misuse it. They won't respect it. They'll use it against you. And when you understand that there's just people out there that are selfish, evil, don't care about anyone else except themselves, true narcissists who paint the world in their own minds to be, you know, their own reality, where they don't really think about anyone else but themselves. When you understand that there's a lot of people like that in the world, you start to wake up and you start to realize that not everybody deserves your time. Not everybody deserves your love. I had Shipa Malushian here last week. She said a great line. She's like, because I was talking about being used and what it's like, and it's such a bad feeling. She's like, switch the way you think. You weren't used.
Change perspective.
You were being useful. And what you said about how people always say, hey, God, why me? Why me? I agree with you. I think sometimes until we've gone through things you've gone through, things I've gone through, until we can look back and realize that it got us to somewhere even greater.
Mm-hmm.
So many times the heartache we have in life, the losses we have in life, the agony that we go through later on in life made many amazing things happen for us. And it's one of my favorite quotes in the Holy Quran. It may be a thing you thought was bad for you that was actually good for you. And something that you thought was good for you was going to lead you to your destruction.
Mm-hmm.
But God has all wisdom and you do not. And sometimes we try to understand, or we say, why God, and why is this happening to me? And God must hate me. And meanwhile, God's taking you on this amazing journey.
There's a reason
to bring out the best of you.
Mm-hmm. But you know what it is with also how you said, you've helped people and you never got back in return because you don't expect anything.
I didn't expect just loyalty. That's all. Just friendship, truth, honesty,
thankfulness, gratitude.
Yeah,
that's all.
And don't try to destroy me for no reason.
Yeah, but here's
treachery.
When I do things, I do things from love, not for love. From love. I do it out of love because it makes me feel good when I can help. But you know what the thing is, Beck? Some people don't count. Some people don't see how much you do for them. They only see the things that you don't do. That's why you can never satisfy an ungrateful person.
No, you can't.
And you know what manipulation is? Manipulation is when they blame you to their disrespect. And that's all of this. It's more of an epilogue, a conclusion of all the things that, you know, I put together, pieces I put together, main events that happened in my life, a lot of things, including this reality TV show. And, you know, and people talk about, you know, trust issues and this and that. I think it's such a basic and typical things to say. Especially with the girls, it's funny. You know, when you start dating, oh, I just want a guy, you know, that's, you know, I could trust, loyalty. It's just like the basic stuff. And, oh, I have trust issues because 2 years ago, this guy did this, 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 and that. Trust issues, trust, if you ask anybody, a kid, for God's sake, a kid or a guy that cleans the street. If you ask the guy just randomly, hey, buddy, I'm sorry to bother you. Do you have trust issues? What do you think he's going to say? Yes, of course I do. Everybody does. But it's about, you know, you give people the benefit of the doubt. And you know how they say, I don't believe in the thing where they say, oh, you respect has to be earned. Respect is there,
no,
brother.
I think it's there to be lost.
Exactly.
That's how I live my life.
Am I to earn respect? That's not something you earn. Respect is there, right?
respect is something you lose.
I agree.
Gradually.
100% with you.
That's...
I've always... And that's the problem sometimes when you are someone that cares about people, cares about the world. You're believing that people are the same way. And this is where the hurt comes from. And this is why when they're not the way we thought they were, like how we try to be, and I give people the trust up front. And I don't care. I'm not changing that.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm not changing that because I know the truth will always come out. And I know that you're going to lose someone that actually fucking cared about you. Someone that would have helped you. Someone that was always there for you. People are very short-sighted sometimes. For a little gain, just a little gain, they're willing to lose something that they don't realize would be something there for them for the rest of their lives. You might shit on me for a couple of dollars.
You know what I call that?
And later on in life, you might not have money or need money or whatever the case may be. And you lost someone that would have always been there for you.
Yes, sir. You know what I call that? Short-term relief, long-term consequences. That's what it is. Because people, they do what they feel good about and they don't do what's good for them instead.
And this is where sometimes being a critical thinker or overthinking, I think the only benefit of overthinking is for long-term consequences.
Yeah.
Sometimes it hurts us short-term. But long-term, overthinkers avoid more pain. But overthinking can become dangerous when you don't act when you should because you're worried about the consequences.
I agree.
So it's a strength and a weakness. Everything has duality, right? It's knowing when to turn it on and off. And sometimes that's hard because that's where emotion comes
in. It's trying to, if you could balance it out.
It's a power.
That's power.
But if it overwhelms you and controls you and maybe harms relationships.
You could learn, because don't get me wrong. It could take you... In some
dark
paths, dark places.
I'm guilty of it.
Yeah, no, so am I.
I'm known as an overthinker.
So am I. But I've learned also.
Every angle. Why this and why that? And then you analyze, why'd you do that? Why'd you do that? And
we don't, I'm like a chess player.
And sometimes we don't want to give the benefit of the doubt to the other person. We think it comes from maybe a place of, you know, corruption or a place of they're not being authentic or I can't trust them. And then fear can override the critical thinking.
That's right. Because I always used to think, like, because I play chess. I love chess. Me and my brother, Ardy, we play it all the time. So.
And shout out to your other brother, Big Benny.
Big Benny.
Shout out to my guy.
He's the big brother.
He is a big brother.
He is a big brother.
And by the way, but go ahead, get into the chat. But there was one thing, I couldn't follow. And I didn't even know I could watch 24 hours a day because I probably would have watched
it. Yeah, you could.
In the shower, like a peeping Tom.
Yeah.
But. I saw one scene and it was very touching to me and it made me, honestly, it made me tear up. I'm not going to lie. I think I actually cried.
Okay.
Because one thing I've admired about you guys and what I can notice is someone, and I can't sit here and say like, we're the best of friends and we see each other all the time.
Right.
We know of each other. I've hung out with your brother for many, many nights. We've hung out and had conversations and always enjoyed speaking to you and your brothers. But what I admired, and the only real highlight that sticks out in my mind of the little that I did see of that show, was it seemed like they were about to surprise you.
Yeah.
This door goes open, and your brother is waiting for you.
Yeah, both of them.
Both of them, Benny and the one, Ardy. And I just remember seeing you just break down crying, so happy to see them. So please explain to me what was going through your mind for you to feel that type of emotion. And to break down, I mean, I was happy to see the kind of love that can exist. And I think all brother, honestly, anyone that has a brother, I hope that they have the connection you guys have. Because from what I can tell, it's not just because of the big brother.
Yeah, it's...
It's like you guys have this respect for him as the older one, and he cares about... Like, so explain a little bit the dynamic of that, and I am going to put a little clip of that. I think it's on your wall.
Yeah.
I want the audience to see it.
Yeah,
I think I'm going to play the clip, and I want them to see the emotion there.
Nëse do të takosh vëllezërit të tu, kjo të dërgon automatikisht në nominim.
Po, mora. Po, po. Bravo, bravo. Po. Bravo. Po, a mund me dal?
Okej, okay, Andi, mundesh me dal.
So they can understand. So what was that? Did you know you were going to paint the whole scenario?
It's funny because it was a little over 5 weeks. Inside that house, almost every single participant got surprised one way or another.
With
right?
something that will make him happy or boost him around.
Right, right. One way or another. With me, there was a condition. Andy, you can meet your brothers right outside. But there's one condition. The condition is you're going to go, you're going to get nominated directly.
Off to be voted off. Or you will be off automatically.
No, not to be automatically.
You're up for elimination.
I'm up for
elimination. So not everyone's up for elimination every week. It's just there's a couple people.
Because we have to nominate one another.
So you're putting yourself in harm's risk.
If you break rules or whatever, you
get nominated.
Yeah,
how many people get nominated every week?
It depends.
Two, three, one.
Sometimes it's three, sometimes it's 10. Sometimes it's everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're automatically to go out that door and see your brothers.
That was the condition.
You're putting yourself at risk of losing this competition.
Without them finishing the sentence of the condition, I just got up.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yes, open the door. I want to see them right away because I didn't care.
How about if they would have said you're off the show? You think you still would have done it?
I believe so.
At that point, you felt like that emotionally?
But here's another thing. I had this strong confidence and belief that even if I was up for elimination, I wouldn't have gotten kicked out because, you know.
The people
I know what I was bringing to the table, right? You know, I started trends inside. You know, there's this game called Yadets. And it's funny because Yadets is a game. So basically, you and I make a bet. So the bet is, it's very simple. If I can hand you something in your hand, right? And you grab it, Yadets. That's what it's called. You lost, right? But for me, so you don't, for you not to lose, right? You have to be aware at all times. So hand me this phone, for example, hand it to me. If I say, I know, right? It doesn't count because I know what you're trying to do. I would get everyone in the most creative ways possible. I handed a human being to another person and said, yeah, that's because I couldn't get them any other way. I grabbed the person, handed it to another person and said, yeah, that's right. With pranks, I was nasty with pranks also. I did all sorts of things.
So you had some fun too.
So I possessed all the elements necessary to win that show. But, you know, like I said, when the tough gets going, the going gets tough, right?
And you lasted quite some time.
Yeah, I was there for 92 days. Yeah, it was...
Damn, almost to the end.
It was... I've said this before. It's like going to college. It's like a school... itself.
How long did you get to spend time with your brother when they brought him?
Not 5 minutes, maybe.
That was it.
Yeah, that was it. It was roughly 5 minutes. Yeah, because you know, because the show must go on because it's prime, right? So the prime usually lasts 3.5 hours, 4, but it's live, right? So that's pretty much it. But 5 minutes was more than enough. And you know, when visitors usually come in general, they try to drop. By the way, nobody could give you outside information. They could just tell you, you know, family's good. That's it. How are you? But they can't give you any out. They can't be telling you, oh, don't stay with this person or, you know.
They're going to backstab you.
No.
Because they can watch it in real time.
Yeah, that way you'll most likely get kicked out. You'll get eliminated because that's going against the rules because you're not supposed to have any outside information. That's the thing. So my brothers can't be like, hey, don't
watch out for this one.
Watch out for this one. Don't deal with that one. You know, you're doing good. Everyone's supporting. Can't be saying stuff like that. But other than that, it's a life-changing experience for me. For me. And I've had
now you were famous for sports before this and you said you were on another show before that.
Yeah, it was a
but after
show.
Going into this house and coming out, even without being a winner, how did it impact your life, your career? Are you stopped in the streets? Like what is it like? What was life after you came or did anything else before we get to that, did anything else significant happen in that house? Did you become friends with anyone? Did you hate anybody? Did you do anything?
Yeah,
friends. There's women in there too. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. It's mixed. It's very, it's interesting. But I was in a relationship
from someone
in there. In there, yeah.
That's very hard to do publicly.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a very, like I said, you'll start falling in love with a couch for 90 days, let alone with a person, right?
Especially if they're good looking.
Especially if they're beautiful, yeah. But got into a relationship inside, then outside it lasted for a few more months, and you know, that
kinda
was
like The Bachelor, kind of right. Like the show over so, here.
Yeah, exactly.
They date some, and none of those marriages seem to work.
So
it's very hard, I think, for a relationship to survive. When is that public?
But you know what the thing with I'm gonna generally speak now in relationships nowadays, especially women, they've become very superficial. I might get hate for this, but it's the truth. Very superficial, and I no longer than 2 days ago, I posted something where I said men love idealistically, women love opportunistically, and it's true because it's ironic because. Women expect men to love, you know, we give unconditional love, right? But women
love when we actually love them.
Right.
The problem is that a lot of women don't women know love when a man loves them or
with
not.
With conditions, in condition to, you know, you got to, you know, that they provide, you know, they want everything, you know, oh, and they're not, women are not as open-minded as they say they are, man. I'll tell you that because I've sat down, let's just say there's, I've been with 4 or 5 girls, right?
Serious?
No. I'm just saying like in one table.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Let's just say I dated one of them, but she had 4 of her friends. And I love stuff like that because I love hearing them out, what they have to say about their stories.
Their perspective.
And just to pick their brain, right? And you know, they always talk about, oh, a girl's past doesn't matter. Oh, this, you know, they shouldn't care about this, about that. You know, they talk about being open-minded, right? And then here's the irony. And I know all of their history, right? Because they're very open about it. You know, they feel comfortable talking. I have this, God gave me this gift where, you know, people open up to me. They just do. And, you know, they feel comfortable, you know, they feel my energy. And it's not that realistically, I don't judge, right? Who am I to judge, right? Only God can judge us. So one of the girls, they would tell me, oh, this, that, blah, blah, blah. And then they talk about feminism. And let's just say we're at a bar. A woman comes in that they don't like as much, right? Right away, you just hear the gossip. And it's women that slut shame women the most. That's the reality, brother. Because women themselves, they know if they're more promiscuous, what happens? You know, they say all these things nowadays just to get that guilt off of themselves, to make themselves feel better. But deep down inside, their soul, they know it's not right. And they act, oh, this, that. They see a woman, oh my God, she slept with everyone. She's this, she's that. Hold on a second.
You guys say that we shouldn't be judging you based on that.
Right.
And you use it as ammunition.
You're being the biggest hypocrite now. Because here you're acting like it's okay if you sleep with 10 dudes or 15 guys, right? Then you're slut shaming her. How can somebody trust that?
It contradicts, yeah.
And it's sad because they look up to people like the Kardashians or Cardi B. They don't get me wrong, okay. Kudos to them for achieving the success
money wise. There's different success in this world.
Yeah.
And at what cost?
But I guarantee you they're not happy people. They are not. They are not. And who are you looking up to? What have they done?
Except show off their most intimate places.
Sexualize themselves. Yeah.
They use them, in my opinion, the lowest form anything to become famous.
And it's sad because the only example that women ever use, like I said, to get that guilt off themselves is, oh, but look at the Kardashians. Look at this. And then they talk about OnlyFans. Oh, you have stars that do OnlyFans.
They've world been on my stars. Show.
What? World stars? Really? World stars? What are you talking about? World stars. You could say they're very well-known worldwide people.
Yeah, it could be well-known.
World stars.
Yeah.
You know, if did they monetize and capitalize on everything? Yeah. But
at what cost?
How is it successful? Because Kim K, right? 3 times married, divorced. What is that?
To me, one of the biggest things in life is to have the right person in your life. That's your whole life.
That's what it is, man. And you know what life is? You are the answer, brother. Life is, you are the answer. Because we are life itself. We decide. And you know how they say life is a game? It kind of is. You set, and because I used to play games a lot back in the days, you set up the difficulty mode in your life. Easy, medium, hard. Or we could go veteran. You try it on easy mode. Well, you see, it's boring that way, right? You need that's why I love challenges. I love that I went through heartbreaks. I love that I went through emotional breaks, mental breaks. Now I'm a monster, man. And I say it in the monster in the best way possible. Like I'm strong. I keep getting stronger. And that's what it is.
One of my favorite quotes is, through despair comes enlightenment.
Yeah.
That sometimes you have to be stripped completely. I've been stripped many times in my life, through death, through tragedy, through my own mistakes.
You name it.
Humiliation. Unfortunately, some people can't handle it. They take their own lives. But I don't care where someone is in their life, what they've been through, how embarrassed they may be. Yeah. There's never a reason to give up. Your greatest pain can be
your greatest reward.
Your greatest reward later.
Yes, sir.
And pain does push us. And pain, just like you do when you work out, if you don't feel that pain when you're lifting the weights, you're not getting any muscles, right? So life is the same thing. The emotional pain we go through, the mental pain we go through, it breaks us. But if we learn from it, if we change our actions, I don't think it's ever too late for anyone to redeem themselves until their last breath. And
it is never too late.
So you go through all this. You basically went through a complete evolution in this process.
I did.
You come out of the house. You're one of the more successful candidates in the house because you lasted as long as you did.
Yes.
And what was it like when you came out of the house after almost 3 months?
All right. So I'm going to tell you.
No, you did come out of the house after
3 months. So
what was like the first thing you did that day?
So I'll tell you. First thing. So I go to the studio. One of my boys, he had my phones that he was holding and managing my social media. He hands me my phone, right? Which was a 13 Pro Max. He hands me my phone and I look at it. I'm like, oh, I didn't even know he handed my phone. I look at it. I'm like, oh, is this the new 14 Pro Max? I swear to everything. Because it just felt different. Everything. I didn't come back to reality until.
How many followers did you have on Instagram before you went in?
So this goes back to the dating show, right? Because that was a big boom also, because it was one of the most watched show in the Balkans, that dating show that I was in. And I only had 1,500 followers when I went in that dating show. After that, it went up to 330. Now
from the dating show.
Yeah, 330.
So it wasn't even from Big Brother then?
No, that was my main. Wow. That was my main one. Main one. And then obviously I went down to 270.
There's a lot of bot, A lot of bot accounts. Mine every so often, every couple of months, it goes down. It's
Exactly.
They were never real followers.
Now it's at 282,000.
You know. So very healthy.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
So what else did you do that day? I mean, I'll tell you
what I did recently. And just recently,
When you got out of that house, besides seeing your friends, what did you do? Did you go see your family right away? I mean, what did you?
So everybody was pretty
What was
much,
it like being outside? People. Did you go anywhere for a coffee? Because over there we have the coffee culture.
No.
You avoided the public.
I avoided people.
Were you uncomfortable at first?
It's not uncomfortable. I wasn't in the right state of mind, man. I was not. I'll tell you that. It was tough.
So you stayed kind of away from the public eye?
Just away. I mean, obviously you got to go, you got to buy stuff. But I was trying to, you know, kind of, because here's the thing. People, sometimes they can be very inconsiderate, right?
They just say what's on their mind instead of thinking how it might
hurt your feelings. Right, they think you're, do you have people that come up to you, you think that
you why did you date that girl? You show whatever.
Why'd you date that girl? Or why'd you do this? Why didn't you do that? Everybody becomes an expert.
On your life.
Yeah, right. And that's another thing I learned. people don't like being told what to do, brother. Even if it's for
the
your
best
own good.
Thing for them, it actually
you,
is the
example,
right.
For example, you just said smoking is not good for you. You already know that. But if I start hassling you and be like, "Yo, Beck, stop smoking,"
you're
it's
gonna
not
get
good
on my nerves.
Yeah, exactly.
When I quit the first time,
you already know
10
that.
Years. I had to choose it. Exactly. I had to say I had enough, and that's exactly how I feel, folks. And I'm gonna say it on the air right now. After today, you're my witness. To all God. Of you, my audience, in God's name. I'm done smoking.
All right.
Because no one can make you. It's the truth.
It's exactly.
And I choose to. You choose to.
It's
do
a
what
choice.
We do.
It's a choice.
We can try to give good advice, but when people don't want to listen, it's not going to
only if they ask you for your opinion or your advice, you give your 2 cents. You give your 2 cents. Only if they ask for it. Because sometimes you just need somebody to listen to you, brother. You just need some. Most people don't listen to understand you. They just listen to respond. So they just can't wait for you to finish whatever you're saying. They're not even listening to you. They just want to say their part that could be completely irrelevant with what you're saying. Completely irrelevant.
But so when you got out, I mean, how long before you started going back out outside?
Maybe. I started maybe a week after, but it was still more of a low key. You know, places, you know, just trying to still being away.
What was it like, brother? I mean, because listen, I was
still overwhelming.
I didn't have as much exposure.
I still thought I was being watched. But just put it that way.
Yeah.
Just put it that way.
So it gave some paranoia a little bit.
100% paranoia.
Even in your own shower.
Anxiety followed me everywhere, unfortunately. But now I say fortunately, because I'm glad it did. I'm glad it did because I learned how to cope with it. I learned how to deal with it. And everything passes, man. That's what I want to say.
Do people get physical on that show? Like,
they
do
could.
People have relations? Like, I mean, you said you dated someone, but do people actually do stuff in the house? Has that ever happened in the history of the show?
No. It has happened.
And the world knows?
Not. They could. It's not that open. It would have to be in a very sneaky way. But
is there ways to get away with it?
Oh, it's.
Was there any like blind spots anywhere?
It's
very hard, right?
They watch you.
Want you to do that. Is what they want. They want that scandal. Yeah, they want that controversy because that's exactly. What's going to make the show bigger and bigger and bigger.
Right.
And that's the truth.
You at the same time, you try to stay aware of all these things. You know, being aware. It's now I say I'm awareness, right? I'm not Andy. I'm awareness because I try to stay aware, not just like general stuff or with what we see, just with life in general. You know, I'm aware that I am the Artani, and because I'm law of attraction is real, man. And like I said, energy is real.
There's parts of it I believe in, there's other parts I don't.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. First of all, someone that believes in God, I believe the law of attraction is actually in some ways satanic.
Satanic? Okay.
In some ways, yes. You know, I've read The Secret. I've studied this for many
years. No, I haven't even read
that believe
book.
The part of being positive, saying positive, feeds
also
into
being realistic.
Positivity.
Right.
I'll give you an example where the law of attraction doesn't make sense.
Okay, let me.
You're someone that lived in Syria.
Okay.
Okay. Or you lived in our country.
Okay.
You could have been the most positive person on earth.
Right.
Do everything The Secret tells you to do. The book that everyone loves and
right.
Manifest. You really were the most positive person. You always spoke positivity. You always looked like you were not negative in any capacity. And then a war comes.
Okay.
Overnight. You lose everything. Your family's killed. You didn't attract that into your life.
No, you didn't.
So this is where there's loopholes in that. It's not a law. It should never be called a law. It should be called the theory of positivity, in my opinion.
Okay.
I think the game board of life.
It makes sense what you're saying.
I look at it always from God's perspective.
Right.
You didn't have control of when you were born.
No.
Of when you came into this life. So your course was already set in many ways.
Okay.
Predestined, as some people believe. I believe human beings have free will. Absolutely. I believe there is power in the way we speak. Because the way you speak is also the way you think. And that aspect of the law of attraction, yes, I do agree that by being more positive, you will have more positive happen. I do believe in that part. And if you're always negative, more negative will happen. Because you're already in a negative state. But I don't think it's a universal law the way I try to describe it. And just to finish, I believe the game board of life is rigged. I truly do.
Yeah. Okay.
To test you as a human being. This is what I personally believe. But what's controlled is the game board. Things will happen to us that we have no control over.
You know what I say?
We may have attracted or not. I don't believe we attract some of this stuff. I didn't ask for my brother to die. My uncle.
No, of course.
So I had to deal with that, right? So I think many ways the life is rigged. The way we respond, that's our free will. I can either let it destroy me and make me the victim, or I can rise above even the greatest pain and become the victor. And I think what I've heard mostly coming out of you here is through all these bad things and experiences or whatever, I finally woke up and decided to no longer be the victim, but to be the victor. That exactly. I'm going to control.
And I never lost faith in God. Me. If anything, is greater than ever. And you know how I pray now? I say, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change and the courage to change the things I can. That's what I say.
And amen.
Amen to that. And another thing, just to kind of connect with what you just said, because it makes a lot of sense what you just said. So here's how I look at it. So I strongly believe God gives you, you know, let's just say we'll call it path A, path B, path C. You know, God gives you those options, but it's up to me if I decide to go A, B, or C. God will give you those options.
The challenge comes and then you have to choose.
Right. This is the part where, you know, you have to, it's free will. Like you said,
God, the game board can be, this is why we say,
if
the game board can be rigged, but you have to choose.
And we all have an expiration date, brother. We all, you know, it's that's how life is. You know, it's
so now that's been some time. Now, how long has it been since the show ended for you?
It's actually been, I got out March 6th.
So it's almost a year.
So a year.
Out of the house.
Out of the house.
Now time's gone by. You've gone through some self-work, working on shadow, your shadow, as
they
say.
My main self-work was actually not too long ago. It was a few months ago.
So did you use anything? Did you read anything? I mean, what helped you?
I went completely off from social media. I've realized...
Do you believe in the evil eye?
Hmm?
The evil eye.
I do.
Did you see my post about that? That went viral. Still viral right now as we speak. It's actually being shared and shared.
I did get a glimpse of it, and I do believe the evil eye exists.
100%.
Because, and here's where I was literally going to get to this.
You've seen my clips about that, yes?
Yes, yes, yes. Social media is a lie. People are posting very superficial stuff.
I say it all the time.
You know, they post what they don't try to enjoy the present moment. They just want to show off everything. And you have people acting like millionaires. That's why a lot of people go through depression and anxiety, because they're comparing lives. The second you compare, you have lost.
Weapon of mass envy is what this is.
Exactly.
It's a weapon of mass envy.
That's the thing. Because I went off the grid completely, people took that as a weakness. Oh, this guy is going through hell. Maybe I was, but I didn't. That's what I love about me, because I keep it real. I'm not one of those people that are going through stuff. I'm not going to act like I'm having the time of my life when I know I'm going through stuff. Who am I doing it for? Who am I doing it for? I have to do this for me. And all the people that did me wrong, because look, I'm 6'3", but my heart is bigger than my body. My heart is bigger than my body, I'll tell you that. And all the people that did me wrong, disrespected me, whether it was, you know, friends, whether I was in a relationship, you know, family members, that, you know, all of that. I forgive all these people because I do it for me.
That's when you take your power back.
I do it for me. I forgive everybody for all, everybody that did me wrong. I forgive you because of me. I give myself my own peace and mind and soul. That's why, I know so many people that are going through depression on some next level. And I hope they go past through it, they accept it and they go past that. Everything passes, just never lose faith. But why do you have to pretend that you're having fun, that you're traveling, posting food, and then you post on Instagram, oh, I'm so grateful and thankful. Say that to God, not to the people on Instagram. When you know you're going through hell, when you know you're going through the most difficult phase of your life, why do you need people's validation? You don't need nobody's validation. Nobody.
I agree. And if you look for it, you're going to always end up disappointed. exactly. Number one, because and you're gonna end up not doing what you know you should do anyway.
I'm more calm than ever. I've.
Did you do any spiritual cleansing? Did you pray? Did you do anything to? If you believe you had the evil eye on you, I've helped a lot of people. I can show you my message. I've been posting.
I believe because I know how.
Okay, it's no trigger. I don't do it for money.
Yeah, I did
because I had it affect my life. It almost cost me my life. And when you're public, you are in great risk of that. It's almost impossible that it will not affect you. So to all the people that were on that show with you, to all the celebrities out there, to all the people that have thousands and even just 1,000 followers on Instagram, is enough for that to affect you. It can happen just from one person. And people don't understand. It's a transfer of spiritual energy.
Yes.
Demonic attack that leads a person to have to take some type of substance, give up on life, or even take their own life.
You know why they do that? To escape reality. To they numb take the pain. Drugs
to numb to the escape pain.
Reality.
It's a fact. It's to numb the pain. They can't handle reality.
Exactly.
And they're overwhelmed. And I said, yes, though, I believe that people have mental issues and that, you know, medicine can help them. Yes. But there's a lot of people that think that it's something that's mental and it's actually spiritual.
Yep.
Spiritual disease. And unless you know how to heal spiritual disease, there's no cure. You could take every pill on earth, see the best therapist in the world. If you are suffering from a spiritual sickness, nothing can save you except knowing how to get closer to the higher power and how to cleanse from phenomenon like the evil eye, like black magic. I believe 100% these things are real.
I absolutely 100%. Agree. I agree. They exist.
What were, if you don't mind me asking, because I've spoke about this many times on my show.
Let me hear
it. I've had episodes about it. What do you think, because I know what my symptoms were, so I'd like to hear.
Oh, my POV.
What do you think some of the symptoms you were while you were under the evil eye? Because I could tell you mine if you want, but maybe yours are different, but I'd love to hear yours first.
There's quite a few things
that happen.
I'm going to, very, very simple.
And do you know why this is important, Andy? Because this saves lives.
Yes.
Okay, this saves lives.
I
felt like
I was in a loophole. How about that? I was in a loophole of things. Of things. And this is the part where before, like I said from the beginning, I kept saying, oh, why me? Because all these bad things kept happening to me. I was like, what's going on? And just when you think you're about to, have a breakthrough, it's in that last second, just everything goes down to shit.
Again. Yeah.
Again. I know.
Also, I'll tell you physically, cloudy mind. You can't think clearly.
Yes.
Foggy. Crying for no fucking reason. Crying all the time, especially when you're by yourself.
Yep.
Fighting with the people closest to you, even if they didn't do anything wrong.
Yes.
You just explode with nerves. I'm not saying yours is, this is what I went
through. It's very similar, brother. Okay. I'll tell you that.
I hear some of what you said. I also had, and I'm very extroverted. I can speak in front of a stadium. No, for that time period when I was under this phenomenon, I had the fear of even leaving my own home. I didn't want to leave my house.
Wow.
It was a heaviness that we get, but it would never dissipate. It was always there.
Heavy breathing.
Just the bricks on the chest never go away, ever. And foggy minded. I'm like, I can't even talk the way I talk. Like I can't, like just foggy in the mind, not sharp.
Yeah.
Did you experience any of those symptoms?
Pretty much everything you said.
During this time period?
Pretty much everything you just said. It's just, I can relate to that so much. You have no idea. It's very similar. And
it's in all three faiths, by the way. It's in Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Yeah. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, half the people that perish in this life perish from the evil eye. They don't even know it.
Yeah.
And that's why I think mental illness is so bad. And I don't think I don't think it's an accident that we're having this much people taking their own lives. Because also the increase of use of social media.
Yeah.
Your life is public.
Not everybody's your friend, man.
None of this stuff was public before. People couldn't see these parts of your life, even if you're only posting what's good.
Yeah.
So people have more access to you than they've ever had before, even if you're not famous.
Exactly. And because you're allowing it.
There's people within even your own family. I'm not saying like your close family, but extended cousins.
It's those that do it the most.
And
it's
the people you don't realize it. That jealousy. And jealousy is such an evil emotion because you probably don't even have any bad thought towards this person, family member, friend, whoever.
Envy.
And they don't realize that if you are jealous of other people, if you're listening to this show right now, and you, I swear to God, I'm not jealous of anyone on earth. Because the first thing I start with, God help them. Yeah. God bless them. I believe everything we have, God opens the doors. And for me to be mad at that person for having it, regardless of what they did, means I'm mad at the one that let them have it. This is where divine wisdom comes into play, right? So if you're someone that's jealous of other people because they're prettier than you, you should be mad at God. Don't be mad at them. And if you're mad at God, God help you.
Jealousy is the seed of betrayal.
It's why we're on earth. The devil was jealous of Adam. Instead of embracing a new creation, someone that could have maybe been his best friend, he declared war on him before God even blew the spirit into his soul, into the body of Adam.
Yeah.
And look at where God, all of us, we're all here because of that. So jealousy is the most wicked emotion of a human being.
It is.
It leads to evil. Another quote in the Islamic tradition is that jealousy burns up good deeds like wood is burned in the fire. Okay. When you act upon jealous impulses, you will start to gossip. You will start to do harm to people. The reason why gossiping is so evil, people think, oh, it's no big deal. Talking shit about someone, especially if you don't know the circumstances.
That's all energy, man.
Even if it's real, what you're saying, you destroy someone's life.
Yeah.
Some people would say, well, that's your fault for being public. They would say that to me too. You deserve it. You're public. Just because I'm a public person, I'm sharing my life with you. I'm not doing this to be negative. And if you want to attack me because you don't like the way I think or speak, then you can do it in a way that's productive.
Yes.
You can have a real conversation with me. I laugh at my comments now. I don't give a shit.
I do the same.
I say thank you because I need the engagement on my page.
Yeah, exactly.
It actually helps propel my
voice. Sometimes I even reply to the comments back because, you know, when they try to be slick with the comments, you know, if I feel like it, I sometimes
fire back.
I fire back and I love it. I love a good
most
roast.
Of the time, though, it's somebody with a fake profile who doesn't
that's
have the courage.
That's why I said, why does it matter?
Doesn't have a backbone to stand behind their statement. And the difference between people like me and you is I will say it now. I will say it in front of the whole world. I say it with my name.
That's right.
You put a fake little picture and you hide because you're a
You bitch. Have user 24678
you're a bitch.
341.
If you had courage.
Saying, hey, you don't even know how
to
speak.
It's not about being tough. I'm talking about just to have the courage to stand by your own statement. The reason you have to create a fake profile and a fake picture is because you know what you're doing is wrong. You know it's not right. Even if what you're saying might be true, there's a way to criticize people in a positive way, even if something wrong. I don't agree with what the Kardashians did to become famous.
Yeah.
I think it's horrible. But I think now they're way past that. There's no way to fix that. That's in the past.
Right.
But I think if they could take their power, I don't think anyone should write anyone off. I don't think anyone's game is over until they die.
They try to normalize things that are not to be normalized.
They can still change. Tomorrow they could change and do 100%. The most positive things in the world with the money they have. So I've learned not to hate enemies or people. I'm not saying they're my enemies.
No,
I don't even know them. I can't judge them. I don't know what they've been through. I don't have the right to judge Kardashians. Right. I'm not God. And what I'm saying is, because this example you used, right? I'm just saying, regardless of where someone is, at any point in time, they can choose a different route. As 100%. Long as they're alive. So never write anyone off.
Yeah.
Okay. I pray for God to change people's hearts and minds. And that's really all it comes. Even when you study these faiths, it's all about changing your mind and your heart, their heart. They say in the books, the Bible, the Quran, they have eyes, but they cannot see. So God's telling you, you're dealing with people that are spiritually blind. Okay. Yeah. They don't even see that they're wrong. So how can you even be mad? They don't even know that they're wrong.
Yeah.
They say in the Bible, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, "Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do."
Yes, sir.
Right? So when we start to have a wider understanding of how human beings are,
a bigger range,
and we know that they hang out in clusters, right? They like to follow, maybe the wrong people.
On a larger spectrum,
the music they allow into their mind. See, that's the part of the law that I agree with. You allow this negativity into you, you're going to become negative.
And you get what you tolerate.
Okay? You're going to become. So that part of it is true. I just don't believe it's a universal law.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Individual, maybe?
I would have liked it better if it was worded more like, the more positive you are, the more positive will happen. The more negative you are, the more negative will happen. Yeah. But there are things that are beyond our control.
But that's what I said. It all goes back to the one main thing I said from the beginning. Perspective, brother. You wake up in the morning, you pour yourself some coffee, right? Boom, it spills. There's one of two things. One, you're going to get mad over it, which is what the majority does. Oh my God, here we go. I spilled my coffee. Now my day is going to be a shitty ass day.
Yeah, you're starting a bad mood.
Right. You already, because now you're attracting that. Because you could chip your nail, right? You're going to think, oh my God, now this and now that. When that happens, you spilled your coffee. Oh, clean it up.
Make another one.
Exactly. It's all about perspective. That's why I also agree with what you're saying. I didn't say like, oh, law of attraction, you know, because...
No, because the way they explained it to me is like just, you're kind of pushing God out of that.
No, no.
They do, not you. I'm saying the people that want you to believe. I believe
God is, you know. That's what it is. God is one. That's what it is. And to kind of connect with everything that you said, you'd be surprised. And you'd be surprised. And if you only understood how often, how frequently people cope by projecting, you'd never take anything personally. Never.
I do believe in projection also.
You know how we talk about these fake accounts, you know, user 12345, you know, saying all these negative comments? They're the ones
that actually feel that way.
That exactly. And people that are hurting, feeling well, they will say the last thing first.
And what you mean by the last thing is you're saying they'll say the most horrific
thing. The most.
They're going to say what they're going to say to you because they're never going to see you again in their mind.
But it could be a close family member. Yeah. It could be your girlfriend, it could be the people closest to you. And that's how you know that they're going through stuff and they'll just spaz out anything. They'll say the most hurtful things. And I've had people say that to me. People that I loved, you know, with my... Because, and you know why I believe real love exists? Because of me. Because nobody loves like me. I swear to everything. I love no harm, no foul, nothing. I'm all in. It's pure purity. Just the way God wants it. Pure. That's how I do it. And that's why people have said the most hurtful things to me that I love the most. But then you come to a conclusion that, hey, they're going through stuff, you know, try to figure it out. But you know, I have things. We have our moments where you want to say things,
and we have. I've said many things I regret.
You know, it's about, you know, staying calm.
That's the hardest thing,
and that's what I've achieved. And the thing also about love, love is a personal feeling. You only remember how much you loved a person, and not how much they loved you. It's a personal feeling. Never forget that. Yeah.
Friends, this has been a very interesting episode.
Yeah.
This is my friend Andy. Make sure you follow him. We'll put up all his social media here. He's doing some big things. What's coming up in the future?
So,
what are you working on?
Right now, I gotta get surgery soon because I have a ruptured meniscus and ACL. But that's for another day. We'll leave that. But other than that, I just need to get this recovery going, and then. You know, I'm trying to stay here in New York for a little bit, and then I don't know where life takes me. It's we'll see.
Folks, this is another episode of the Beck Thanks Lover for having podcast.
Me, Beck. It's been honestly a pleasure. You're the man.
Thank you, brother. Make sure you stay tuned, hit the subscribe button, check out all the previous content and the content to come. You never know who we're gonna have on the show. This is the Beck Lover podcast, where you just might learn a thing or two about life. Till the next time, Beck Lover signing off.
Beck Lover.
Lover.